Let's preview this Monday night game, Dolphins and the Saints at the Superdome in New Orleans, with the man who'll be calling the game on ESPN's Monday Night Football. Mike Tirico joins us on the Metro PCS hotline. Mike, appreciate the time. Let's start with the Dome and the atmosphere and what you expect that place to be like on Monday night.
Well, Jesse, it's always been a loud venue, probably along with Seattle, the loudest that I've been to in covering games over the years, and definitely the last seven of Monday Night Football. And I expect no different. You know, New Orleans needs very limited reason to have a good time. And a couple of 3-0 teams and Monday night, which always feels like you're skipping school for the day, adds to it. So I think it'll be an electric atmosphere and a great test for the Dolphins on the road.
You think it's a good challenge, too, for the young quarterback, Ryan Tannehill? So far, his only primetime game in the National Football League was a Thursday night in Buffalo last year. Obviously going to be a little bit different animal.
Exactly. And I think for a lot of the nation, because of all the attention on Russell Wilson in Seattle and RG3 in Washington and Andrew Luck in Indianapolis last year, they didn't pay enough or as much attention to Tannehill, what he did, because the team was a game below 500, two games below at the end there, at 7-9, or should be a game, that's right. And I think the maturation, the 3-0, the whole story of a top 10 pick at quarterback who didn't get a ton of attention coming out, and certainly has played well here, I think, and what I've seen from watching these first three games. I think that'll be a great test for Ryan, but also a great national coming out party for him.
Definitely. Mike Tirico is with us on the Metro PCS hotline. You can see him Monday night on ESPN along with John Gruden. What else have you seen from the Dolphins through 3 weeks, and how real do you think their chances of being a serious playoff contender this year are?
Well, he beat two good teams. I know in Indianapolis and Atlanta, I think those are two quality football teams. All you have to do is look at what Indy does the next week, go out to San Francisco and win, which is a huge statement, I think, in the league. So that's impressive to beat Indianapolis. You know, the Atlanta game was a little screwy just because of the lack of possessions in the first half. That long opening drive, it just kind of skewed the offensive balance for the game. Just so few snaps of regular offense. They hop into the two-minute drill at the last part of that half, and really didn't see a lot of base offense run. But still to come out of there with a win and make winning plays the key time, I think is big. I like the receiving core, even with Matthews as a fourth receiver, to go with Gibson, Hartline, and Mike Wallace, who, although he only has 12 catches in three games, I think Mike Wallace's presence is more impactful than those numbers. Running game needs to get going. That's plain and simple. You're not going to survive very long in this league running 3 yards a carry, as this team is right now. So they need to improve it. And you look at the offensive line with some of that, and their play will have to step it up a little bit. But by and large, when you look at the defense, the pressure on the defense, the inside linebacker performance, the step-up play so far in the secondary, Brent Grimes has always been a favorite of mine, and I think he's doing a great job. And the different people you're rolling up front through injuries that are impacting the game, I like the general feel to every part of this team. And you know, credit Joe Philbin. Maybe not be the most electric soundbite out there, but he's a heck of a football coach. He was in Green Bay, and he's proven it, I think, here so far in Miami.
You mentioned Mike Wallace. It'll be his first primetime game in a Dolphin uniform, of course. Gets to go back to his hometown. Not the first time he's playing in New Orleans, but nonetheless, it should be fun for him. And you said it. He's helped open things up for other guys, but I think Dolphin fans somewhat impatiently waiting for him to blow the top off the defense and have the big vertical play down the sideline or wherever. This seems like as good a time as any. National TV, fast track, under the dome, all that.
Yeah, and you know, he's got a guy going against him in Keenan Lewis who knows him very well.
Yeah.
So you go back to two guys who grew up about 5 miles from the Dome at Walker High School in the Algiers section of New Orleans, who were drafted a few picks apart by the same team. So these are two players who really know each other very well. So I think that competition may make it a tougher night. Plus, you know, the one thing with the Saints is that they will give you various pressures. And if one of those pressures gets busted, that's your opportunity for a big play. So perhaps there, but you know, people always say, well, let's see this guy long, throw to him long. Well, if it's not open, it becomes an interception. Then you say, what a stupid play that was. So it's got to be the right time and the right combination of plays. And while Mike Wallace's numbers may not be there, we can't just look at those and say that's his impact on the team. If he's opened up 7 or 8 balls for Gibson or Hartline, or if over a game 8 or 9 more passes are easier passes for Tannehill because Wallace is drawing two defenders or a defender plus the attention of a second, and that one little step over towards Mike Wallace is freeing it up for somebody else, that's a win for the team, too. It may, you know, we're not in a fantasy world here. We're in a wins and losses world in the NFL for teams and organizations. And at 3-0, you can't complain about if Mike's not seeing enough deep balls right now.
That is going to sound very, very familiar to anybody who listens to the show on a regular basis, pretty much exactly what we've been saying. Do you feel the national perception shifting, you know, involving the Miami Dolphins?
I think an awareness for sure. You know, I think a lot of people will be tuning in to say, okay, what is that 3-0 made of? And they know the cross results. I thought you made a very good point earlier when you were talking about last year's schedule, Jesse, that the Dolphins weren't on national TV. So people really are unfamiliar with this team over the last couple of years as Joe Philbin has changed the roster along with Jeff Ireland significantly. And you have a new face at quarterback, new faces on the defensive side. Other than Cameron Wake, you know, there's limited holdover to players who make a massive impact. And that's not to disrespect Randy Starks, who's been around for a while, or Solei, who I love as a nose up there and up front, who's been around since 07, or Chris Clemens. By and large, the cast has changed significantly. So for a lot of people, it's an introduction this week, especially with this game. I know we have them later on against Tampa on a Monday night. So I think people will start to get to know what this team is about and form a national impression of the Dolphins beyond the transitive property of, hey, they beat Indy and Atlanta, who also beat good teams, so they must be a good team.
Mike Tirico of ESPN is with us. National perception, not an issue when it comes to the Saints, a very well-covered, well-regarded team, and they've earned that, of course, winning a Super Bowl down here a few years ago. You get the sense with them that, okay, Sean Payton is back, Drew Brees is still here, and it's sort of ho-hum back to normal for them?
I think on the offensive side, yes, although I think they're in search of a little bit of a running game as well. When you look at their ability to run the ball or lack thereof, they're only running for 86 yards a game. Pierre Thomas has 100 yards in three games. Sproles has 65. Mark Ingram, the Heisman winner from a few years back, has been mostly ineffective and now was inactive the last game with a toe injury. So it's an offense that is so Jimmy Graham-centric right now that I don't know if it's picking up where things left off because of that. And Graham's caught 19 balls the last 2 weeks. That's an incredible figure. And he's looks so unstoppable. That'll be a great, great matchup to see if the Dolphins do like they did against Atlanta and Tony Gonzalez continue to put a linebacker out there on him in one-on-one, linebacker and safety with a little bit of help. Stopping Graham is the key to the game as far as I'm concerned. I think where it's changed, Jesse's on the defensive side. With Rob Ryan coming in as a new coordinator, it parallels Sean Payton's team philosophy of aggressive and attack. And Greg Williams did that when this team was most effective, but I think Rob Ryan's defensive plan is a little more sound than Greg Williams' defensive plan was for New Orleans. And I think overall this defense has a chance to be even better than the Saints' defense was, causing all the turnovers in their Super Bowl year.
Talking to Mike Tirico, and I don't want to force the crystal ball in front of you or anything, but minimum amount of points you would think that the team who wins this game is going to need to score?
It's a good question. I don't think the Saints are looking at this like 35-40 point a game team as they were a few years ago. I think it's not as explosive, at least right now, as when they had Reggie Bush as part of the equation over those past years. And this Miami defense is good. It's one I like a lot. I like what they've done. So I think you're looking at a game, for me, in the mid-20s, similar to last week's game against Atlanta. You know, that Atlanta-New Orleans game, I went back and watched that week one, and then you watch Miami play Atlanta week three. And other than the Falcons' ability to run the ball, that was the one thing that gave me pause. It was one drive where Atlanta lined up and ran it eight straight times. Yeah. You know, I just don't see that in the league much. Other than that stretch, I feel really good about the pressure the Miami defense brings. So I don't think it's one of those nights where New Orleans is going to score 30, 35 points and, you know, play tilt on the pinball machine.
Great insight. Mike Tirico of ESPN. Of course, you can watch him along with John Gruden, Lisa Salters. Monday Night Football, Dolphins and the Saints. Mike, really appreciate the time and enjoy the game on Monday.
Good catching up with you, Jesse. Thank you. We look forward to it. Look forward to seeing the Dolphins.